and they were proud of their cruelty. Lifespring Family Audio Bible, episode number 289. This is the daily podcast where we are reading through the entire Bible in a year. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Welcome. Our reading today is the book of Nahum. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for reaching out to us and touching us and calling us to yourself. Thank you, God, for giving us the faith that we need to believe in you and to follow you. I pray, God, that not only would you give us faith, but that you give us more faith. I pray, God, that you give us a thirst for your word and for fellowship with you. As we read today, teach us. Help us to see, Lord, how we can apply it to our lives today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, beloved, let's begin. Nahum chapter 1. This is a revelation from the Lord about Nineveh. This book contains the vision of Nahum from Elkosh. God does not tolerate rivals. The Lord takes revenge. The Lord takes revenge and is full of anger. The Lord takes revenge against his enemies and holds a grudge against his foes. The Lord is patient and has great strength. The Lord will never let the guilty go unpunished. Raging winds and storms mark his path, and clouds are the dust from his feet. He yells at the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. The flowers of Lebanon wither. The mountains quake because of him. The hills melt. The earth draws back in his presence. The world and all who live in it draw back as well. Who can stand in the presence of his rage? Who can oppose his burning anger? He pours out his rage like fire and smashes the rocky cliffs. The Lord is good. He is a fortress in the day of trouble. He knows those who seek shelter in him. He will put an end to Nineveh with a devastating flood. He will pursue his enemies with darkness. What do you think about the Lord? He is the one who will bring Nineveh to an end. This trouble will never happen again. The people of Nineveh will be like tangled thorns and like people drunk on their own drink. They will be completely burned up like very dry straw. From you, Nineveh, a person who plans evil against the Lord sets out. His advice is wicked. This is what the Lord says. Though the people of Nineveh are physically fit and many in number, they will be cut down and die. Though I have humbled you, Judah, I will not humble you again. But now I will break Nineveh's yoke off of you and tear its chains from you. The Lord has given this command about you, Nineveh. You will no longer have descendants to carry on your name. I will remove the wooden and metal idols from the temple of your gods. I will prepare your grave because you are worthless. There on the mountains are the feet of a messenger who announces the good news. All is well. Celebrate your festivals, Judah. Keep your vows. This wickedness will never pass your way again. It will be completely removed. Nahum chapter 2. The one who will scatter you is coming to attack you. Guard your fortress. Keep a lookout on the road. Prepare for battle. Be very courageous. The Lord will restore Jacob's glory like Israel's glory, although enemies have looted it and have destroyed its vines. The shields of his warriors are painted red. His soldiers have red uniforms. The metal on his chariots flash fiery red. So do the spears when they are waved on the day he prepares for battle. Chariots are racing madly through the streets, rushing this way and that in the city squares. They look like torches, like lightning, as they dart about. He remembers his best fighting men. They stumble over themselves as they march. They hurry to Nineveh's wall. The shield has been set up for the battering ram. The gates of the rivers are opened, and the palace melts away. The Lord is determined. It will be stripped. It will be carried away. Its young women will be mourning like doves as they beat their breasts. Nineveh was like a pool of water from its first day on, but now its people are fleeing. Stop, stop. But no one turns around. Steal the silver, steal the gold. There is no end to what is stored here, everything a person could ever want. Nineveh is destroyed, deserted, demolished. Hearts are melting, knees are knocking. every stomach becomes upset, every face turns pale. Where is the lion's den, that feeding place for young lions? Where are the lion, the lioness, and the lion cub who moved about with no one to terrify them? The lion tore its prey to pieces to feed its cubs. It strangled the prey for its mates. It strangled the prey for its mates. It used to fill its caves with torn carcasses and its dens with torn flesh. I am against you, Nineveh, declares the Lord of armies. I will send your chariots up in smoke, and a sword will kill your young lions. I will remove your prey from the earth, and no one will ever hear the voice of your messengers again. Nahum chapter 3. How horrible it will be for that city of bloody violence. It is completely full of lies and stolen goods, never without victims. The sound of the whip, the sound of rattling wheels, horses gallop, chariots bounce along, horses charge, swords flash, spears glitter. Many are killed. Dead bodies pile up. There is no end to the corpses. People trip over corpses because of Nineveh's constant prostitution, this very charming mistress of evil magic. She used to sell nations her prostitution and people her evil magic. I am against you, Nineveh, declares the Lord of armies. I will lift up your dress over your face. I will show nations your naked body and kingdoms your disgrace. I will throw filth on you. I will make you look like a fool. I will make you a sight to be seen. Everyone who sees you will run from you, saying, Nineveh has been violently destroyed. Who will feel sorry for her? Where can I find anyone to comfort you? Are you better than Noamon, which sits by the streams of the Nile with water surrounding her? The sea was her defense. The water was her wall. Sudan and Egypt were her endless strength. Put and the Libyans were her help. Even she went into captivity and was exiled. Even her little children were smashed to death at every street corner. Soldiers tossed dice for her important men, and all her best men were bound in chains. Even you, Nineveh, will stagger like a drunk. You will disappear. Even you will look for a fortress to escape from the enemy. All your defenses will be like fig trees with the earliest figs. When shaken, the figs fall into the mouth of the eater. Look at your soldiers, their women. The gates of your country are wide open to your enemies. Fire has destroyed the bars of your gates. Store water for the siege. Strengthen your defenses. Step into the clay pits and trample the clay. Grab the brick mold. Fire will consume you there. A sword will cut you down. It will consume you like locusts. Multiply like locusts. Multiply like hungry locusts. You have produced more businessmen than there are stars in the sky. They are like locusts that attack and then fly away. Your officers are like locusts, and your scribes are like swarms of locusts that settle on the fences when it is cold. The sun rises and they scatter in every direction. No one knows where they've gone. Your shepherds, king of Assyria, have fallen into a deep sleep. Your best fighting men are at rest. Your people are scattered on the mountains and there is no one to gather them. There is no relief for your collapse. Your wound is fatal. All who hear the news about you will clap their hands. Who hasn't suffered from your endless evil? Nahum is the author of this book, and his name means comforter or comforted. There is comfort for God's people, to be sure, but for Nineveh, not so much. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria, and the book of Nahum was written about 100 to 150 years after God sent Jonah to Nineveh to warn them that unless they repented, God's judgment would destroy them. I'm sure you remember that Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh to give that warning because Nineveh was so evil that Jonah didn't want them to repent. He didn't want them to have a chance. He didn't think they deserved a chance. But God is love, and he does not want anyone to perish. So he is patient, and he pleads with the sinner to turn from their wicked ways. And after Jonah was swallowed by the great fish, he repented and did deliver the warning to Nineveh, and Nineveh repented and thus avoided God's judgment. But now, just a short 100 or so years later, they are a truly evil, foul, and godless city. They are a great and powerful city. According to one description I found, it was 60 miles across, with walls 100 feet high, and many, many thousands of inhabitants. In chapter 3, it was referred to as a city of bloody violence. Now, in reading through the Bible, there are occasions when we are surprised by how descriptive its language is. But overall, it is almost always pretty reserved in its language. And such is this reference to Nineveh. Pretty reserved. Bloody violence doesn't even begin to describe what went on there. The Assyrian rulers were cruel in the extreme, and they were proud of their cruelty. Monuments that they created to tell of their heinous acts have been found, and you can find some of them in museums today. Listen to what some of them had inscribed on them. Again, this is the boasting of the Assyrian rulers, and remember, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. All right, here's what was written on some of those monuments. I cut off their heads and formed them into pillars. Or how about this one? This Assyrian ruler is talking about what he did to a certain person, which will be named. He says, Bubo, the son of Buba, I flayed in the city of Arbela, and I spread his skin upon the city wall. Here's another one. I flayed all the chief men who had revolted, and I covered the pillar with their skins. Next. Many within the border of my own land I flayed and spread their skins upon the walls. This sounds like it was quite a pastime for them, doesn't it? But they had other ways of being cruel. Here's this one. I cut off the limbs of the officers, the royal officers who had rebelled. Another one. 3,000 captives I burned with fire. Their corpses I formed into pillars. Another one. From some I cut off their hands and their fingers, and from others I cut off their noses, their ears, and their fingers. Of many I put out their eyes. And lastly, I made one pillar of the living and another of heads. I bound their heads to posts round about the city. So yes, Nineveh was an evil, evil city. And there was much, much more that I haven't even mentioned. God gave them a chance, but after a short time of repentance, they reverted back to their old ways. So let's go to the bottom line. Nineveh was completely and utterly destroyed. Some even doubted that it ever truly existed until its ruins were discovered in 1840. So here's what happened. Because of their rebellion against God, God allowed Judah to be taken into captivity by the Assyrians, and they suffered greatly under the Assyrians. And Judah had cried out to God, save us. And now finally, God is going to exact vengeance on Assyria. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? That is a comfort for those who have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But on the other side of that same coin, for those who are not his, it is equally true that if God is against you, then who can be for you? God was against Nineveh, and no one could save them. Nineveh was once a great and mighty city. No one could conceive of its destruction. Everyone thought that such a city would always be great. But they turned to their own way, and God brought them down. Is there a lesson for us here? I believe there is. We, as a nation, must return to God if we're going to ever see His blessing on us again. If we don't, I think our fall is sure. God gave Nahum a vision of the destruction of Nineveh. And God has given us His word to show what happens to nations and kingdoms who forsake Him. The good news is that when nations and kingdoms do repent, He blesses them. I don't think it's too late for us. There are still many of us praying for America. Let's not grow weary, beloved. What are your thoughts? Please, I invite your comments. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Our reading tomorrow will be Acts 7 and 8. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Have a great day. Bye.